Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wake up in the morning feeling like
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try?
What?
Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
Oh, she's having a big gulp of water just as I was about to say, hello, friends.
Are we recording?
We're in record. This is a podcast.
Yeah, in modern day podcasts, now we can't do it with our orange microphone. Quite a shame, actually. I was thinking about them the other day, thinking I actually quite miss talking into my tryhard's mic.
I do. I feel like this doesn't feel, sometimes it feels like we're just having a chat, because we have like an hour long chat before we even press record anyway. And then afterwards I have like fleeting moments of, was that in the podcast or were we talking about that? And I start to worry.
It shows just how relaxed we are. And
I mean, I can't even think of the word.
I'm
in pajamas for the pod today. So,
and as we discussed, as you showed how it looks like you're on the other side of the world because it's nighttime because your curtains are closed, but as you got up you did explain to me that you're in your pajamas and you could see your pants, which I could see your pants, you didn't need to highlight it, but
then I
that's
felt
an interesting
like
one, isn't it?
You're aware that I was aware that you were aware of my pants.
It's an interesting one where we point out the obvious to people to make them, is it to make them feel less more comfortable, or is it to highlight the fact that we're slightly embarrassed by it?
I think it's the latter, because I always think the key example of that is how when you see a close friend, like say I turned up to your house and I had a big spot on my face, the first thing I do is go, oh god, ignore the massive spot on my face. And I think that's such a common thing to do.
And the other thing, I always find it really funny, I'm really bad at when people compliment my clothes or compliment my outfit, not that many do, because normally I get like, oh yeah, anyway, and that, but you have to tell them instantly if it's from a sale or from like a cheap shop. You can't like just go, oh thanks. It's like, well, like just, it's like hidden shame.
If someone says your hair looks nice, you go, yeah, I washed it. Like that's my defense mode for it. Yeah, I've washed it. And people are like, oh okay. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good. I've been busy. Obviously not so busy this weekend with the cancellations. But I think I've briefly mentioned on the podcast, I'm part of a company that is launching in February and we are really starting to ramp up that work. I've really enjoyed it, actually. It's a totally different use of my brain around, and it's the foundation of it. Is based around the UN Sustainable Development Goals, which is something I didn't have a clue about what they were, because they kept using the acronym SDGs on the call, and then I was like, maybe I should Google it because I have no idea what they're on about. So anyone that's listening, it's something that I'm involved in at the moment, but I'm not going to say too much more because it will come out in due course, but it's something that I've been really enjoying doing. How about you?
I've told you I've had a bit of a rough week. I am struggling a bit because I hurt my hand before Christmas, which people who listen to the pod frequently will know. I'd actually hurt it earlier in the summer and then slipped the week before Christmas and hurt it again. And I've been in hospital this week and I've got to go back tomorrow. And it's just frustrating because when you come out and they say to you, you were still not sure if it's broken or not. And I'm like, your doctor. This is your thing to know. So I basically got a question mark over a fracture in my hand, and then have also, it basically, every time I go, it gets a bit worse. So now they're like, oh, you've got carpal tunnel and you've got a cyst in your wrist. And yesterday I made the like fatal error of saying to my dad, well, what does a carpal tunnel release mean? And he talked me through it, and I nearly fainted in my mum and dad's kitchen because it's when he said they make a little incision in your wrist. I was like, oh my God. So yeah, it's just, yeah. So it's really,
did I ever tell you I was awake for the surgery on my thumb?
Well, I'd
so
awake.
I...
You have a block in your shoulder. Oh, God.
Yeah, so I, for those that don't know, I do have dodgy thumbs. Most people do know because they appear on photographs all of the time. On my pause for positivity, we'll get to this in a minute. Just digress from the thumbs. Someone made a comment about the Instagram post about, oh, I like the headband or something, but stop biting your nails. I nearly deleted the post because I was like, how dare you take away, recognise my thumb.
At the same time, stop biting your nails.
Yeah, no, I know, but I didn't need it pointed out on my Instagram. Anyway, my thumbs, yeah, so I handed someone off. We were on tour in Canada, and then I handed someone off, but with my thumb down towards my palm. Weird, not quite sure why. New technique that I tried, and it dislocated and ruptured the ulnar collateral ligament, which is the one on the top of your thumb across the joint. And during when it happened, I was like, oh God. Anyway, so I went to the side of the pitch. There's probably about five people on the bank watching, and the physio came over and was trying to put my thumb back in place, but it kept flopping back out again. So I was like, please just tape it up. So she taped it up. And then because Canada had realized the fullback was off the field, I could see them lining up to basically kick. So she taped it. As she was taping it, I was like moving down this touchline with her. And then as they kicked the ball, I ran back onto the field and fielded the ball and then carried it. And I was like, oh, this is awful. Anyway, long story short, ended up in a massive plaster cast, needed it to be, have surgery on it. And yeah, they put a tourniquet around the top of my arm. And then I was awake for it, and the surgeon was like singing along to some music that was going on, and he was like, do you want to have a little look? And I was like, yeah, right. So he showed me what my thumb looked like, showed me the ligament, showed me the bone. It was awful. It was like a bright white chicken bone. And he showed me why it kept dislocating. It was quite fascinating, and I was like obviously high on adrenaline because I was wheeled out, and I was like, absolutely feel fine. Like, I feel like this is weird. Like, I've had like open surgery, my thumb's been opened up, I've had a pin put through it, all sorts of things. Felt fine. Obviously, then like with adrenaline spiking, and then the big collapse of adrenaline happened, and I was like, oh, I'm in so much pain.
I've only ever had that like block once. I had to have an operation on my foot when I was like 12, and again like that local anesthetic block in like a limb, and I can remember being like really blasé about it and being like, it doesn't hurt. And then that, like, you know, wearing off of the adrenaline of being awake whilst they do it, and they're like, oh, I'm stitching it up now, and you're like, oh yeah, and just like my head completely going. And in fact, I was talking to my mum about it yesterday, because I remember, so I was 12, and I was like, my parents' bedroom had Sky in the bedroom. So when I was off school, I was allowed to like lay in their bed all day to watch Sky. Obviously my mum didn't want me downstairs getting on her nerves. And I can remember I got up to go to the toilet and the dressing came off my foot, and I had stitches through my toenail. And I was like, mom, come upstairs. And she stood in the threshold of the doorway gagging. And she was like, I can't help you. I can't see this. I was like crying because she wouldn't come and help me. So yeah, I've got like, it's just got me really like down in the dumps this week about the kind of, I don't know, like I'm in pain. I don't know what's going to happen. There's obviously a chance I'm going to go back into plaster tomorrow, and it just makes me want to cry all the time. That's
well, anyway, should we pause for some positivity?
Yeah. My pause for positivity. You go first, because I don't know what mine is. Actually, I do.
Okay, so my pause positivity, I went a little bit off script 2 days ago and decided, I'm not a bath person, so I love a shower, I'll stand in the shower for hours. I get bored in the bath and I get overheated because I like it to be hot, and then I get flustered. So I'll always take a big pint of cold squash in, normally like an orange, or at least I've got the peeling to like keep me entertained. Anyway, I had a bath the other day and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna go off script, I'm gonna have one at 3 p.m.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A little bit mad for me, bit weird. I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna do it anyway. Snowney, as a little surprise at Christmas, just like a little present, he got me this like new bath salts, and I was like, he whinged that I hadn't used them like a week or so ago, and I was like, okay, I'll use them anyway. So I was like, oh, this is really nice, I can have a bath, wash my hair, like chill out, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, sprinkle this stuff in and then realized that the red stuff in the pot wasn't salts, it was petals, and I was like, oh god, like I've never, like what is this? Anyway, so I got in and I was like, you can't wash your hair with, like, so my pause positivity of like going off script and having a bath, one was affected by the fact that why would you have like floating leaves around you or petals, I don't get that. And then two, I'd said to him, you know what, why don't you empty everything out of the drawer under the bed so I can sort it out. So it needs to be sorted. And then for the whole time I was in the bath, I could hear them sorting stuff with the fear that he was getting rid of things. And so my pause of positivity didn't quite work. So the moral of the story is, make sure if like go off script, have that bath. But if you're going to do it, create an environment where you can relax, because it was possibly one of the worst.
You say that, but it actually sounds like you cultivated in that circumstance the perfect setting, because you are a hoarder, and actually the fact that you were in a situation where you couldn't say to Simone, don't throw away that one odd sock just in case I find the other one, which I haven't found in the past 15 years, it's probably got like Uick Archers on the like top of the sock, then actually it's probably the perfect environment, because you were, you know, disarmed and had to enjoy. Also, you are the worst girl in the world, the fact that you're like, why would you have petals floating in your bath? That sounds,
why?
It sounds divine.
Why would you?
It's relaxing.
It's not relaxing. They're like little pieces of skin that attach to you. And then when you empty the bath, I was like, okay, so I have a bath, like nice, relaxed. I don't know why I'm doing this as the pause for positivity, but it's just a reflection on how to make sure you relax. Is because then when I let the water out, they blocked up the sink, and then they stained the bath, and then I had to like bleach the bath. I was like, what is going on?
This doesn't feel very positive now. But do you know what? Before I give you my pause for positivity of like what's been my positive in life this week, I'm going to give you a try hard tip. I don't know how safe this is. Just I'm going to caveat it with that. If you are somebody who likes a hot bath, I'm going to recommend something to you. Now, Epsom salts in your bath anyway, buzzing. Everyone loves an Epsom salt bath. Put some teaspoons of powdered ginger in there and you will sweat like you've never sweat before. Now, I call it a detox bath. I used to do it if I had like a big night out and I needed to like slide myself into a dress that was perhaps a little bit too tight. And you get like goo coming out your skin because you sweat so much and all the rubbish comes out. So that's my try hard tip. If you want a detox bath, teaspoon of powdered ginger in with your Epsom salts, and it is a winner.
I actually feel like that,
have a big glass of water on hand
for, I was going to say, that extreme dehydration from the amount of sweating you've just mentioned, the fact that goo comes out of your skin. I'm going to put a massive warning sign on that tip, and maybe
it's
suggest
nights
that
out and bodybuilding competitions is probably okay. Like,
obviously
doing
both
universe also might help. My pause for positivity, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but the thing that changed my life last year, this is going to sound like the most millennial thing in the world, but during lockdown one, I'm just trying to remember which lockdown it was, at the very end, I had realized that whilst being locked down and not being able to go out, I was saving a ridiculous amount of money every month purely from not buying takeaway coffees. And it just made me really reflect on like what a waste of money it is. And don't get me wrong, I really like to support like small local businesses and stuff like that, but
like Starbucks
yeah, there's Starbucks And, you know, if you're somebody who, like me, lives a life on the road a bit with work, you go to Starbucks, you get your coffee, you get your chicken and avocado wrap in the spinach fajita. Like, it's very easy to spend £6-7. Have you gone somewhere? Did you just turn your camera off? Oh, there you are. And before you know it, you've, you know, by the end of the week, you've spent £30 in Starbucks. And I was really angry with myself about the fact that you total that up over the year and it's a disgusting amount of money. So I bought myself an espresso machine and it has honestly changed my life. Like, I can get up in the morning, make myself a really nice coffee and just start my day before I've even...
Can I just say... What's another thing that is positive about the coffee machine that you chose?
What's another positive about the coffee? Well, you did some research on it to find which one was the best one for me.
And you ended up, and there's some really good deals out there with 5,000 pods. You get a free Chai Hards podcast and a load of pods.
One of my favourite
well.
Pods is like Chai Hards colours. So,
you know, everywhere. There you go. So,
I've got like little Nespresso friends on social media now. I've got like people who I DM about like what offers are on and like what new pods are out and stuff.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, I don't have a tip for this week because I think that is a magnificent one to move on.
Perhaps your tip is don't do my tip.
Yeah, don't. Don't put the no, because you just gave two, or is that the pause for positivity?
No,
I'm not quite sure.
Positivity was my coffee machine. Like, it is the most positive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that. Sorry. Yeah, my tip is don't necessarily listen to LJ's tip. Okay. If you don't want to have massive headaches, migraines, or cause yourself serious stress.
I mean, you get palpitations from it, but good ones. Okay, let's move on to the biggest news of the week, which is
not your injury.
Not my injury. We will get a men's Six Nations, but the women's Six Nations is going to be delayed slightly, which there are negatives and positives, but you think there are some overwhelming positives that we can take from this.
Yeah, so like for a long time, there's been question mark over, does the women's Six Nations need to be alongside the men's? And yes, it's a time when there's loads of branding around and it's like this big hype, but it's constantly in its, I don't think it's in its shadow, but it's just, it's never a priority. And yeah. I think that that's, and also.
Also ran, isn't it?
Pardon?
So like in racing, it's an also ran. So it's not the headline act, despite the fact it should be the headline act.
Yeah, and actually there's constant battles and competition for space in the media, whether that be written, features, coverage. Also, in my opinion, to an extent sometimes with activation and time spent from brands and sponsors and commercial entities in terms of just time that they've got to think about strategizing for the women's game. And I don't think that isn't meant as a necessary criticism, because I've seen the inner workings of some of that, and yeah. It's bloody hard to get things going, and especially like when sponsors come in, like, you know, for instance Guinness Six Nations, and they had like such a ridiculous turnaround that actually there's only so many hours in the day. But I think it's just giving the women's game the best possible platform to be successful, and I think that is delivering at a different time. I think the challenge that they've got is that they have just said spring, summer, which is a slightly large range of months. And then I think the other side of it is what I don't want them, because it has been delayed, there is an opportunity to improve and develop what and strategize behind what that looks like in the current climate or with an anticipated climate, but it doesn't just get left and then the men's is focused, there's a focus on the men's and then this panic to get the women's going. I think they just need to make sure that they use the time wisely.
You think that we will see an alteration of the fixtures in terms of at the moment, this is something that we've talked at great length about on the podcast, and anyone involved in women's rugby and who watches women's international rugby will, you know, have talked about with friends and on here, is that at the moment the women's tournament mirrors the men's tournament, and sometimes that means that the men's builds to a crescendo, whereas we start with Le Crunch in the women's and the tournament is almost decided by that game. Do you think that we will see them change the order of the fixtures so that they're bespoke to the women's tournament and we can almost have a peak at the end, or just so that it doesn't have to follow the order that the men's is in?
Yeah, well, the order is decided by world ranking, and so it's totally different in the women's to the men's, and so actually it could just follow exactly the same structure, but the teams change, like you say. I think it's a really good point. I think actually, you know, having promotion and relegation in the women's Six Nations might not necessarily be a bad thing. I don't know. I think the challenge you've got with that is the funding resources going towards a women's game if they risk losing their opportunity to be on the biggest platform from a media and commercial perspective. But then you've also got Spain, that is highly, is who her, I've actually played Spain in the Six Nations, and then there was a shift with Italy coming in, and actually, you know, Italy have progressed up. Like the season before, Italy came second in the Six Nations, having beaten France at home. Like, it was mad, like absolutely brilliant. But, you know, the fact that they did so well is overshadowed by the fact that their men's team is doing so poorly. But by being in the Six Nations, they've had that opportunity to grow and develop. But Spain are actually ranked higher, I think, than Scotland at the moment. Maybe that shifted with their draw in the, against the French. So rightly, should Spain be in that, you know, Six Nations tournament? Could the tournament actually become bigger than Six Nations? Could it be something different and changed as a strategy around a world region tournament type of thing? I mean, there's loads of different possibilities. I think we won't see those types of changes happen this year, but those are the types of conversations that, like I say, need to be happening to look at it from a strategic perspective, not just to deliver as a deliverable this year, but moving forward. And they need to have the right stakeholders in the room. I feel like there's a lot of decisions made by people that don't necessarily know the women's game, know the ins and outs of the growth of the game, know the ins and outs of how it's been delivered over however many years, and what can we learn from, and what can we, you know, what can we implement, like kind of a stop, start, continue type of conversation. I know that, you know, being an ambassador for Guinness, I sat down with them and their team, and they asked me questions. They said, right, what as a player do you think works? What do you think, you know, and we're open to that conversation. And I think that that needs to happen as much around the strategy, not just from a commercial partner's perspective.
I think it's interesting as well, because obviously the reality of the Six Nations is that as a brand, Six Nations, and as a name, as a title, speaks for itself. So in terms of mirroring the men's, there's obviously a huge positive. But the thing that kind of like sticks in my mind a little bit is that it does feel right that perhaps this is expanded to a Seven Nations. If we can do that, could it be eight? And actually, whilst not everybody loved the Autumn Nations Cup and its structure, to me, that's something that could be applied to the women's in this form of two conferences of four teams that play each other. And then we have a fourth be fourth, third be third, second be second, first be first. Just in terms of keeping things interesting, perhaps you're reducing like massive blowouts and games are more competitive. But it also does mean that you're going to have growth through the years and people are going to move around in those tournaments, because it only takes one loss to alter where you fall in those conferences. And I do think that's something that could be explored. But it's just about, are we there yet in terms of the women's tournament in whatever form that is being supported enough to take that leap of faith and say we are rebranding as the Spring Nations tournament or something like that? So that's certainly something that, and you know, we've talked on the podcast before about the fact that the Six Nations have taken the women's, the Six Nations as a business have taken the women's tournament to tender now in terms of sponsorship, and that's a huge positive. And actually that backing is perhaps where we're going to see changes ultimately in structure and strategy on the field as well as off of it in terms of commercial entity. So
I mean, I think from a Six Nations perspective, I think they look that they have made changes. It has developed over time, you know, the way that it's now all delivered through the media, like, and people complain, oh, it's not all on TV. Yeah, like, look, the big games need to be on TV, but that all of the games are accessible. And actually a lot of the stuff being pumped out on the internet is good for the global audience.
Yeah.
Because actually globally, they can't necessarily access Sky Sports. Like, no. Do you know what I mean? And so the England games aren't necessarily available to everyone, yeah. You know, that might want to watch it. Whereas the Welsh games, they can be accessed because it's via BBC or, you know, online somewhere.
And they're on YouTube and stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think one of the things that my frustration, and I've, you know, it was part of a column that I wrote recently for the 15, was around the language and how we talk about women's rugby in the media, and actually getting away from the narrative of being, you know, always about like the development and the growth of the game, and actually giving it some credit for being an elite sport. And we talked last week about the difference between amateur and professional, but elite is different for me. I think that it's that to me classifies as somebody that is the best at what they do in their country or within their area, and, you know, training full time, basically, whether you're getting paid or not. The amateur professional is the pay. Actually, elite is about your commitment to it. So if you're a full-time athlete, whether you know, whatever. And in the press release, Ben Morrell, who's the CEO of Six Nations, he's quoted to say, "We're fiercely committed to the promotion and development of rugby at all levels, particularly the women's game, where we see such exciting opportunity for growth." Now he goes on to say that, you know, and then obviously it's talking about the under-20s, and people would say, well, surely that's a positive quote. Well, I think it is, and I know why he said it, and it's been written. But this is the type of thing that I feel holds back the game. This is an announcement that the top level of women's rugby in Europe is being postponed. And it's come out at the same time as under 20s. There's this constant like connection between us and the under 20s. We are the top, we are senior. Now I understand that both of them have been canceled, probably for very similar reasons, you know, whatever. But when are we going to actually say this is the top level of the women's game and give it that respect? You would never talk about the growth of the men's game when we talk about the men's Six Nations being postponed or cancelled. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that's where we need to make the changes. And they're very, very subtle, but have a very big effect. And that kind of links to maybe your point about what, you know, you're saying about it being the Guinness Six Nations is the men's Six Nations.
Yeah.
Talk about sponsorship. The women doesn't have a headline sponsor, so but Guinness do support them. They're just not the headline. So when they talk about the Guinness Six Nations is happening, or the history of the Guinness Six Nations, they are only ever going to talk about the men's. But then it takes away from the fact that the women's is being played, because there's just, that's the only one. Whereas if it was the Guinness Six Nations and something else Six Nations, because that's the women's, it would then give it its own credibility.
Are we falling behind perhaps other tournaments, and is this where the Six Nations need to, as a business, strive to match what World Rugby have done, in that we refer to the World Cup now in terms of Rugby World Cup 2021? It is not the Women's World Cup. So should the Six Nations now be the Guinness Men's Six Nations? Is that what it should be called? Because it isn't. It's the Guinness Six Nations and then the Women's Six Nations.
Yeah, but it's the Guinness Six Nations because Guinness are the headline sponsors and they only are the headline sponsors of the men's, which is absolutely fine. If they were both, then it should be men's and women's. I think where World Rugby have got it wrong, in my opinion, we've spoke about this loads, is that they've taken away the gender. So then to explain something, you have to put the gender back in. Whereas if you just put men, you add men's, if you add men's to something, it means that it's basically promoting the women's, because it's, you're stating a gender, so therefore there must be the other gender. Do you know what I mean? And so I think World Rugby, I know why they've done it, but I think they haven't gone out and spoken to people, the stakeholders from within the game, to say, does this work? And it's, I think that the biggest thing for all of this moving forward is to not be precious to say we don't really know. Let's talk to people. You know, where I think the RFU at times get it wrong. They don't speak to past players. They don't speak to people that are engaged in the game enough. And I don't know why. I don't know whether it's because they don't feel they can ask for the time from somebody, or whether they just think that, because it comes across as, or maybe they think it, they know better, or yeah. I don't know, because actually that's how we develop the game and move it forward, and we don't keep making the same mistakes that have been happening year on year on yeah. year.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, well, we'll park that now because we've put a time limit on this pod today. Other news this week is that there's a pause of rugby, all forms of rugby, and the Allianz Premier 15s is also going to have a 2-week break, which we, you know, is appropriate considering the girls aren't being tested and the virus is at this point horrendously everywhere, as we're all acutely aware. But it does mean that the last round, if you haven't caught any of it, like, go back and watch the highlights, because there were some really good games in the last round of the Premier 15s. You are part Welsh, Danielle Sian Waterman, and you want to talk about some Welsh players, so here we go.
I think the biggest result from the weekend, I didn't manage to see it, was Bristol getting nudged by Exeter at I think it was like last ditch score from Exeter to win it, and crazily Jazz Joy scored a hat trick for Bristol, and there still wasn't enough. I think one of them was an intercept. It was a hell of a finish.
They were amazing. I just want to quickly, really quickly, say a massive thank you to Emily at the RFU, who on Saturday night I texted her or emailed her and said, look, scrum 5 tomorrow evening, we really want to get one of Jazz's tries in the show. And she was on it, like, by 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'd had those tries sent over to me, and it's just this kind of, everyone now is realizing, yes, let's push the women's game, get it out there. And it was, you know, of all of the tries on show on Scrum 5 on Sunday evening, Jazz's was the pick of all of them. So
she's a little racing snake. I used to call her Randall, you know, from Monsters Inc. The one that would disappear. That's how she runs as well. She's got quite a long body and little legs. It goes very fast. And I actually think I shouted. I was over in Vegas at a tournament and I was like, go, Randall! She whizzed past people.
Oh, next time I see her, I'm 100% going to steal that. I think the other one for Wales fans is that Sianead Harris scored a hat-trick for Worcester on Saturday as well.
She did. To be fair, they pumped the DMP 70-0,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, she seemingly isn't involved in the Welsh squad under the new coaching management. It will be interesting to see how that changes.
She's a good player. She's a tough player, actually. I think, to be fair, one person from Worcester that we spoke about right at the start of the season, who I didn't even know was Welsh, is Alex Callender, because basically she looks like Alex Matthews, which is weird. She's class. I'm looking forward to hopefully see her in Welsh colours, because I think she's been brilliant. Like, and I didn't pick her out as somebody that I just, because she was well, do you know what I mean? Because I didn't know, I actually picked her out because I thought she was brilliant. She was really good. So yeah, that'd be an interesting one.
Honestly, I covered it last week for BBC. There's, a wholesale change in the coaching setup for Wales.
Was she in camp?
She wasn't.
Or am I not allowed to ask that?
She wasn't there. You know, I think there are people with an awareness of that there have been issues and clashes of personalities in the past for Wales. And let's hope now, as much as like Warren is Mr. Positive, I actually think Tails is going to have the biggest impact on that. And maybe we will see some people come in from the cold where they've been for the past couple of seasons. So, you know, we wait with
Beta. Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, so, you know.
I didn't realize that's slightly awkward. But anyway, one thing positive for Wales is also shout out for Kira Bevan, who started her running return operation on her ankle, was it? And I know that feeling. I know that feeling of the first running session. And there was another player that hasn't run for a long time, who's Welsh, who's a fly half, got blonde hair, knee injury. Gareth Anscombe, there we go. He did a first running session as well. He was, I think his was like a 17-month break. Like, I've been there. And yeah, so just a little shout out. And unfortunately, on the other side of it, another person with ankle surgery, given that Saracen's game was cancelled last weekend, one, Fleeto was supposed to make a return, so I was all excited about that because she's had injury after injury. But Rosie Gallaghan, who plays in the second row, capped international, plays for Saris, has had an awful time with injury. 357 days of rehab, and she was supposed to play at the weekend and she didn't because the game was called off, and then more weeks, you know, when you're just literally like
over the year mark, so there's 365 days in a year.
Yeah, I was just thinking, probably. Yeah, I was like, how many days?
Oh my god, I got a massive
yeah, but I don't know, long time to wait. I think she had a couple of surgeries as well. But Rosie, keep in there. Keep believing that you will get to play rugby, Fleeto.
Yeah. So we can't wait. The game will return. Okay, so the other thing is there's no women's matches, there's no men's matches. So these two rounds of Europe have been suspended because of the French. We are hopeful of having a Six Nations in a fortnight's time, but nobody hold your breath. But Europe has gone for the next 2 weeks. So that's both of us now not working for 2 weeks. But you
are... Oh my
are...
God. Can I just say on that?
Go on.
I'm so frustrated because I was supposed to commentate on Ulster Gloucester this weekend. So my priority over the last few weeks, like I've been, as we've spoken about, I've been watching more Pro 14 to make sure that I've got like a backlog of information about the teams and players. So I was like, brilliant, massive game in Pro 14. Leinster Ulster, so I was like, gonna watch it, right, no problem. First time I've actually genuinely been quite excited about a game, so I was like, oh, Ulster in a good place. Oh my god. So I watch that, and then I keep getting these messages from my brother Sam, because we're still doing we're doing the fantasy league, and every week he has to remind me to do it. But he was like, oh, he had a dog roux, so he was like absolutely burning up, getting me all these points. And I was like, oh, is it a good game? He's like, you need to watch it. And I was like, no, I'm watching the Leinster Ulster game. And it was like pulling teeth by the end.
Oh,
and
God, so boring.
And I can't believe that I forced my way through watching that game, missing the Bath Wasps game live, and like you, turned on with 10 minutes to go at like the most ridiculous scoreline that nearly topped 100.
I was watching Leinster Ulster and then was like, it was so boring. I was scrolling Twitter and Ben Coles from The Telegraph tweeted something like, someone's got a tenner on this being 100 points. And I was like, what? And I turned it over to see kind of 20 minutes of Priestland looking great, who is rumoured to be coming to the Blues, which I'm more than happy about, and Faletau just being like his Faletau best. So I was like, this is mega, huge scoreline. It was proper Friday night lights, running rugby, buzzed off that. And then Saturday night, awful nightmare kind of memories for all Blues fans of being back at Cardiff City Stadium. There were probably about the same amount of fans in there as there were when we played there for those two seasons. FNAF. But yeah, Mulvihill has obviously left the Blues. Caretaker coaching in the form of Richard Hodges and Richie Rees for a weekend. And the Blues beat the Scarlets.
It always happens, doesn't it?
Everyone wants to impress the new old guy. So
it's
yeah,
true,
I was really excited.
It's genuinely true.
Had a couple of non-alcoholic beers with Dad whilst we watched it for Dry Jam. Oh, 2 weeks going strong.
Good work. Actually, interesting to talk about Blues, because I'm interested to see, like, there was these games, chaos with the like games and the score lines and stuff like that, but also there's some quite big news with players moving back to their home nations. So like Thomas Francis, where is he going? Has it been announced, the Exeter prop? So and also man with the hair, which I know we talked about in the autumn,
Duncan Weir.
Yeah, he's he's going back, he's leaving Worcester.
Do you know what? That's actually really big news, because weirdly enough, I was talking to a colleague the other day about the fact that Scotland are in a situation where they won't have their tens playing in Scotland, because obviously Adam Hastings has signed for Bath. So So obviously Finn's in Paris. Hastings is going to go to Bath. I know that apparently Edinburgh or Glasgow or the SRU were looking to sign. They've got a Scottish qualified 10 at Munster, whose name is escaping me at the moment. And obviously it's a priority for them and for Gregor to bring some 10s back to be playing up there. And, you know, the Hair Bear bunch in terms of, well, Hair Bear soloist Dunkey Weir is going back up there, so that's obviously a positive for them. But you say that about like people coming back, it's a weird point in a World Cup cycle for that to happen.
Yes or no? Well, Thomas Francis, I read a report actually saying that basically it was around his contract renewal, and then Rob Baxter was it was a really good report, I can't remember who covered it, maybe Rugby Pass, saying that basically they were like, oh, are you disappointed that he's not staying? Did you not want to like come up with something? And he was like, well, no, but, you know, obviously it's hard players leaving, but this is for a positive reason. He's leaving so that he can potentially have more of a Welsh career. And I just love that.
He's only 5 caps short.
Mm. Wow. So
he could, if he managed to get in every Six Nations match, he then doesn't have to leave. I also, the shocking thing about all of this, how is Thomas Francis 28 years old? like, oh my God, what an amazing signing for the Ospreys. And I was like, what? Like, he's not 38. And I Googled it and I was like,
yeah, he's still got plenty of time. Actually, on the flip side, obviously, you've got players moving home to, or back to their home nation to qualify or to move back, you know, so that they're around their international rugby. I've heard rumors, I don't know where again I saw this on social media, whether it's true or not yet, but Zach Mercer, who's been carving up to an extent in for Bath, is moving to France. And it's interesting because someone like that, you think, who has been doing really well, he was part of all the England under 20s. I'm actually a really, really great guy. I've done a couple of things with him, did an evening with type of on a panel, and just so lovely, but completely overlooked by England and Eddie, and just gone, like, I'm cool. I've got an opportunity. I'm still young enough. I'm just going to go. I just think that's like fair play to him. So yeah.
To perhaps like Stuart Lancaster was in 2015, and like Zach could, he's going to Montpellier, isn't he can go there and be like the best player in the top 14. And Eddie's the kind of coach who, when it gets to 2023 in France, he's not gonna be, the RFU may be his employers, but they're not his boss. And Eddie's the kind of bloke who's going to go, no, Zach Moose is the best player in the top 14. He's in my World Cup squad. Whereas in 2015, Stuart Lancaster wasn't able to pick Stephen Armitage, who, it was a really similar circumstance of, you know, Steph being, you know, up there in the top 14 and Dylan as well to some extent. And he wasn't allowed to bring them into the World Cup squad. England have learned from their mistakes. And do you know what, Zach Mercer? As much as it looks like a risk, I think if you've got confidence in your ability, like, the cream only rises to the top.
He's still only young. I think he's only early 20s. And actually, I mean, although saying that, I am a massive believer that if you want to play for your country, you've got to play in your country. I'm a massive believer that they don't break that rule. If that rule is in place and you make the decision to leave, you've made the decision to leave. And I think that is something that I feel really passionately about. And he's made the decision to leave because I think he's just had enough. He's still young enough to go over there, sign for however many, a couple of years, learn, grow, develop off of some of the most ridiculously experienced ex and current internationals from all around the world. Mm. And he also plays like that type of style that Montpellier, like, do you know what I mean? Like, got a big old pack. He can just, I don't know, instead of banging his head against a brick wall, go and have a bit of fun, go and learn, go and develop. I think moving on from players, just one person that who's done an amazing job in some of the media stuff I've seen is really like spot on, and some of his punditry, was Alex Sanderson has now been announced as head coach of Sale. And I think that that's a really interesting move, and it'll be fascinating to see how he grows and develops in that role, having kind of been the understudy in the ranks in Saracens, but part of a ridiculously successful team. Because as a pundit, you hear him regularly on the sideline talking, and the culture of the team and his ethos is very clear. It's very, and he's always quite calm. I mean, he's obviously got a very very strict streak. You can see that he wouldn't take any grief. But yeah, I think that's a really great move and an opportunity.
I wouldn't know Alex that well, like personally, but I worked with Pat a lot when I was at Sky, and I don't think I've ever met a hardworking man in my life. Pat Sanderson is one of the most intelligent men I've ever met in rugby. He is like, doesn't stop. I think he probably sleeps like 2 hours a night. He is charismatic, and Alex and him are very alike. And, you know, that northerner thing as well. I think he is going to be huge for Sale. Maybe not this season, maybe not next season. But if they stick with him, as long as they stuck with Dimes, I think that Alex will cement himself as a top rate head coach up there. And Sale are going to do really special things under him, because I've got a huge amount of respect for him. And
well, they've also had a hell of a lot of, Steve Diamond finally had the resource to recruit. Yeah. They've gone for a massive international feel from internationals that aren't necessarily taken away during international windows.
Yeah.
And therefore they're benefiting from that. And actually one player that is doing a really good job, I brought him into my fantasy lit team, if anyone's doing that, AJ McGinty. Hell of a goal kicker. Not so many points at the weekend because it was a bit of a rubbishy game. I think they played Worcester. But and having an American international is an interesting one, because actually they don't play test matches, and he's been brilliant. And there's been another American that's been brought in. There's been like Russia. There's like all sorts of props and stuff that are coming out of the woodwork from all sorts of places. We go.
The thing with Sale as well is that it says a lot about the kind of organisation that they are, that my illegitimate brother Faf de Klerk stays there. You know, he's a World Cup winner and he's really loyal to them as a club. And I found that that's an interesting story. He was one of the stars at the World Cup.
Yeah, although he hasn't been playing that well this season, and there's like a frustration about how he plays when you watch him. Like I watched him, and last season he was just playing with such freedom and he was just unbelievable. And I don't know whether, you know, it's like one of those things where he's such a competitive person that if he's not performing well, then he's getting really frustrated because of the standard he sets for himself, or if the behind the scenes stuff with Steve Diamond leaving and other bits are affecting him. Like obviously you don't know unless you're in there. I think one thing just to finish off on Sale, and maybe finish off the pod, as we're nearly out of time, is with Katie Daly-McLean being there, and whether she is, obviously she's a player coach with the women's, whether she's going to have opportunity to do some bits across with the men's, or what she does as she grows and develops away from having the commitment to international duty.
Maybe that's a campaign that we start now, Katie Daly-McLean to be Alex Sanderson's assistant coach at Sale. next week, obviously there's no rugby this weekend. Next week, I would like us to do a bit of a kind of, I'm going to think of questions that I always want to ask you about your career, because there was something I wanted to ask you about today, which you know. So I'm going to save it for next week. So if anyone else has got anything as well that they want to throw in the mix, get in touch. And thanks for joining us this week, guys. And we'll see you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.